you guys, welcome back to my Flickers of Fear show. So I decided, because it's now January, I know I kind of went away from the winter theme on the last one because I wanted to do another Giallo movie because it had been such a long time since I had done one. But I decided, maybe not for the remainder of January, but at least for, the next couple reviews, I decided to go back into the winter horror movies, mostly because this movie here was recommended to me by at least two or three listeners, and I was kind of intrigued because I had never really seen it. And then I kind of researched it a little bit, and I kind of saw it coming up on a few Christmas horror lists. It is set at Christmas time, but it's not like overtly Christmas. It's kind of more Christmas the way like Dead End is Christmas, in that, they're on their way to Christmas, but Christmas doesn't really have anything to do with the plot necessarily. So it was kind of like that. So this was recommended a bunch of times, so I kind of got really curious as to why I had never seen this one or why I had never heard of it, even though it actually has Emily Blunt in it in a pretty early role for her, I think. I mean, obviously she's, a big star now, but I think this might have been, I don't know if this was necessarily her first role, but I think it was a very, very early one, like before her big breakout and everything. So I thought it was kind of interesting, and also it was produced by, I think, like George Clooney and Steven Soderbergh. Like, they have a production company, and so they got the funding through that. And it's just really weird that there's not, I don't know, you don't really hear a lot of people talking about it. There's not really a lot of information on it, like about the behind the scenes production or anything like that, on even like on Wikipedia. And so I was kind of intrigued. So I was like, okay, well, I'll bite. I'll go watch this one for another winter horror movie. This is called Wind Chill from 2007. I actually watched it on Amazon Prime. I think I paid $3.99 to rent it. I think you can watch it if you have one of their add-ons. It might be the Stars add-on, I'm not real sure, but I don't have that, so I just paid to rent it. And it was totally worth it. This was actually a really intriguing little movie. And that's just, like I said, it's just so weird how it seemed to like kind of fall into the cracks, type of thing. So the setup of this movie, and I'm gonna I guess I'll just use the actors' names in this because weirdly, I guess it's not that weird like when you think about it, but weirdly none of the characters have names. This is mostly two characters, even though more characters do kind of like come into play later on. But the two main characters do not have names. They're just credited as guy and girl. I guess they did this. I didn't really realize it when I was watching it, but then I was like, afterward, when I was reading a review of it, I'm like, oh yeah, they didn't really have names, did they? And I think it was done to maybe give it more of like an urban legend kind of feel, because this does have a little bit of that. Now, this was actually directed by Gregory Jacobs, and kind of the only like big thing he directed like later on was the Magic Mike sequel. But I was kind of interested because Martin Donovan is in this movie, and I'm actually like a big fan of Martin Donovan ever since like back in his Hal Hartley days. So I was very intrigued to discover when I looked at Gregory Jacobs' Wikipedia page, like his filmography, he had actually worked as a first assistant director on a couple of Hal Hartley movies, including my favorite one, Amateur, and I think he also worked on Simple Men. So I guess that's probably why he got Martin Donovan in this, and he's like playing a villain, which I kind of feel like he plays mostly villains nowadays, which is odd because he always seemed like such a nice man. Like in the Hal Hartley movies. I don't know what it is. He just came across as very warm to me, so it's just like weird because the things I've seen him in lately, because wasn't he in, I feel like he was in another one that I saw lately. Maybe it was Come to Daddy, but I think he played kind of a shithead in that one too, which it's kind of interesting because like I said, he just seems like a nice man. So basically this movie, okay, here's the setup. Emily Blunt plays this student at, she's like an engineering student at this unnamed Pennsylvania university. Now, she's going to go home for the holidays, but she doesn't have a ride. She said she usually flies, but she's gonna have to take a Greyhound this time around for whatever reason. So apparently what happens, somebody like texts her and says, well, why don't you check the ride share board at the university? Maybe you can get a ride. You don't have to take like, a smelly Greyhound or whatever. So she actually does that, and she finds this what seems like the perfect thing. It's like somebody has said, hey, you need a ride to Delaware. That's where she's going. That's where her family is. She's going home for Christmas. And so somebody's going to Delaware. So she takes the phone number and she calls this dude up. Now, this dude, who's played by Ashton Holmes, he turns up with this kind of like rickety ass car, which I can't shit on too much because my car is pretty rickety ass too. Not quite as rickety ass as this one, but it's pretty close. So he turns up and he says to her, yeah, I just got kicked out of my apartment because he's got all his shit in the trunk and everything like that. Now, interestingly, this movie, and it's really, really hard to talk about if I can't spoil it. I kind of feel like I don't want to, but then I kind of feel like I do want to too, because it's really hard to discuss if you can't talk about the different twists and turns it takes. But I will suggest, if you're going to watch this movie, I don't think the description of it gives anything away, but don't like read anything about it that says where it's, and don't watch this video before you, because I think it works better if you don't really know what direction it's going in, because you kind of think there's a lot of misdirection going on in this movie. Like, you think it's going to be one kind of movie, but then it kind of like takes another turn. And I kind of liked that, because I was like watching it the whole time going, what is this? Because I kind of thought I knew where it was going to go. And then I was like, oh, well, this is a new development. Okay, I guess it's going in this direction. So it kind of like, it surprises you. Like, it doesn't really go in a direction that you would expect, even though it is set up. You think that it's going to go in one way and then it goes a completely different way. And I actually really liked that. So like I said, it's really hard to discuss the movie without spoiling it, so I probably will spoil it at some point, but I do recommend going into it knowing as little about it as possible. So she gets in the rickety ass car with this guy, and right from the jump, these characters, it's interesting because, I mean, this was kind of an interesting choice. Neither of these characters is particularly likable, but I kind of want to get into this because this was something that I don't know if I'd say it like bothered me about the movie, but there's something going on in there that I'm not really sure how I should take it, okay? So I'm going to put that way. Now, Emily Blunt's character, from the jump, she's pretty much, I mean, she's kind of, an entitled asshole, sort of, in the sense that apparently they kind of off-screen, she sets up that she's going to meet this guy for the ride or whatever, and she just turns up like 2 hours late, so he's kind of been sitting in the car in the parking lot like freezing his balls off for 2 hours, and she's just kind of like, oh yeah, sorry about that, but like she doesn't really think of it as any big deal. And then when she's going to put her stuff like in the trunk, she's like, man, all your shit is in here, and it's like, I can't fit my thing, and she's like shoving all his shit out of the way and everything like that. So she kind of comes across as a little bit of like a snotty, you know, douche, pretty much. I mean, she's kind of like unlikable, very standoffish and stuff like that. So she kind of comes across as unlikable. However, the guy also comes across as kind of creepy from the start. A little incel-y, a little nice guy, a little bit like that. And indeed, that does turn out to be like the issue, because, you know, she just wants a ride to Delaware, which I think it's like a 5-hour drive, they say, in the snow. And she just basically, she's like, look, I just want to like sit in the car and just get the ride. I'm not interested in making friends with you. I'm not really, you know, and she pretty much says that. And he gets kind of like upset about it. Like, you know, hey, that's how this ride share thing works. It's like, if I drive you, like you have to like talk to me. And she's just kind of like, oh, now I'm your in-flight entertainment type thing. So it's like, she's very prickly, but I couldn't really blame her, because this is like a dude you don't really know, and he's kind of coming on like, oh, you have to talk to me now. And it's like, well, you know, maybe I don't want to, or maybe I'm not really talkative. So he just comes across as like really entitled and kind of creepy and like over thing. And so like, as the ride goes on, you slowly start to discover that, because he's like, oh, well, I'm going home to Delaware too. But then, like, as they're talking, because he kind of, like, forces her to talk to him, like, or, you know, winds her into it. And so she's basically starting to think, hey, I don't think this dude is from Delaware, because some of the stuff that he's saying, like, doesn't really make any sense to her. And so she kind of, like, trips him up with this trick question. And then she's like, bitch, you are not from Delaware. It's like, what the fuck is happening? He got her into this situation under false pretenses, which, like I said, creepy. So he's basically comes out with it later that he knew that she needed a ride to Delaware, because he totally, like, he sat behind her in class. She never noticed him before, because it's like a big, huge college class. It was like a philosophy course. And I guess he was sitting behind her and noticed that she was texting her friend about, oh, she was going to take the bus home, blah, blah, blah. And so he real quick ran out there and put something on the board, like saying, hey, I'm driving to Delaware with the number, like in the hopes that she would see it. And so he engineered this whole entire thing. And it turned out that he had bought a bunch of groceries, like her favorite foods, which what the fuck? How did he even find out about that? Like, I don't even think Tom knows what my favorite foods are. And we've been together for like 10 years. So it's like, how would this like fucking stranger find this out? And he even says something like to her, like, cause she says, oh, I'm going to get, they were talking about like laser eye surgery. Yeah, I'm going to get that like over the break. And he's like, but you look so good in glasses. And she's like, how would you know that? Like, I don't wear them outside of my dorm. So obviously this dude is like fucking stalking her, right? So at this point, she's like really mad. And it, like I said, as unlikable as she comes across as at the beginning, like she does come across as kind of like this, kind of a douche, you know what I mean? Because she's like, oh yeah, I'm 2 hours late. Yeah, sorry about that. What is this piece of shit car? What is this? And she's always like complaining. But the further it goes on and you find out really like fucking dastardly shit that this kid did, that this guy did to get her alone in the car because he has a crush on her, even though she never noticed him. Because like I said, they were in the same class, is really... I mean, shit, I'd have been like, you let me out of this fucking car right now. This is some serial killer shit, and I'm not having it. And so she's, like, really mad about that, but understandably. But she's kind of like, well, I still need to get home, and, you know, she's kind of gonna leave and then kind of not. It's like, you know, it just doesn't work out that way. So what ends up happening, they stop at a gas station, and then there's, like, a little bit of foreshadowing where... I don't know, like, everybody in this, like, there's, like, a gas station with, like, a little restaurant or diner behind it, and they're all kind of, like, looking at her weird, and then, like, she goes in the bathroom, and, like, she gets locked in there, and then she's, like, banging on the door to get out, but, like, no one opens the door, so there's this kind of this weird thing where, you know, obviously, you guys heard me banging on the door, why didn't you let me out? So that was kind of, like, a weird situation, too. Now, shortly after that, the guy decides he's going to get off the highway and go on this other, obviously not that used highway. Like, I think it's called Highway 606, and it hasn't been plowed like the main highway has. And so he goes down that way, and she's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, get off, you know, get back on the highway, you dumbass. And he's like, oh, no, this is a shortcut. It's a more scenic route. And like I said, at this point, you're pretty sure you know where this fucking shit is going. And I'm sitting there like... like yelling at the screen, sitting there going, stab him right now. It's like, this is not going to end well, because it's like, obviously he's been stalking her. He's like really creepy. It's just like the shit that he's saying. He's just like, oh, this is how it always goes with women, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, you are so fucking creepy. And she even calls him like a stalker at some point. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. You need to jump the fuck right out of the car right now and like go get a Greyhound somewhere else, because this is not cool. And probably she should have. I mean, even though this doesn't go the way that you think it does, that's kind of where you think this is going. So they set it up like she's in a car with essentially a crazy stalker who's maybe gonna like murder her. So, but that's not how it goes though. Not exactly. So they go and like they're on this fucking road in the middle of nowhere, and she's just like, what the fuck? Go back to the fucking highway. Like there's a, you know, snowstorm coming, like the weather's kind of shitty or whatever. And then it so happens that they're driving along this stretch of road, and this other car like comes at them and like runs them off the road, and then they can't really find like where that car went to. So they kind of crash into a snowdrift. Like the car is not that fucked up, but it's too fucked up to move, and it's kind of like stuck. And I think like the gas tank cracks, so like all the gas drains out and shit like that. But they're both ostensibly okay. So now, not only is she stuck with, like, this fucking creepy-ass stalker, who's masquerading as a nice guy, but now the fucking car is stuck in the middle of nowhere, and the cell phone doesn't work, and all this other kind of stuff. So they're kind of, like, stuck out there. Now, as I said, at this point, you know, you have... two people who don't know each other. This girl, she's trapped with a stranger. She doesn't really know exactly where she's at. The weather is closing in. They're stuck there. They can't get any help. And so you think that it's going to go in that sort of direction where it's like a thriller kind of direction. But then, spoiler alert, this goes in a weird supernatural direction, which maybe you're not expecting. Now, this is kind of going back to some shit that the guy said before about the philosophy class, and he's talking about Nietzsche, and he's talking about eternal recurrence. And she admits to him, I guess he thought in his mind that she's like, oh, this is my philosophy chick, because he's a philosophy major. But she's like, look, I'm an engineering major. You know, I just took philosophy because I needed an easy, like, humanities course to take. You know, and I heard this teacher was an easy A. So that's the only reason why she's in there. So she thinks that eternal recurrence means, like, reincarnation. And he's like, no, that's not exactly what it is. It's reincarnation, you know, you die and then you come back as somebody else or in another body or whatever, whereas eternal recurrence is just the same shit happening of, like, living the same life over and over again. So they're kind of hinting that this movie is going to go in that direction. But like I said, it's that really doesn't happen until maybe the third act. The first thing that happens after the car gets stuck, and obviously, you know, at some point they can still run the heat and the radio and everything like that, but then, like, the, you know, the gas tank is cracked and all the gas runs out, so they can't really run the heat anymore. So now they kind of have to, like, rely on each other for survival because it's, like, fucking freezing, right? And so there's that whole issue coming up as well. And then they start seeing people in the woods. Like, the first thing is she's in the car by herself, like, where he says, oh, I'm gonna go back to that gas station we stopped at and, like, get some help. And he goes, but then he comes back, like, way more quickly than he should, and he's like, oh, it was closed. And she's like, bullshit, it's closed. She's like, they're supposed to be open 24/7. You weren't even gone long enough to have gotten there, so what the fuck is your deal? So, like I said, you're not really sure, like, what his agenda is. Like, you know it's something bad because of all the shit that he's admitted so far, but you don't know exactly, like, what he's up to. So she, like, arms herself with a pair of scissors and, you know, is just kind of like, you stay the fuck away from me, even though we both have to get in the car because otherwise we're going to freeze to death. But then they start seeing, like, he goes back to, well, he's gone. She sees this guy, like, walking down the bridge, and she keeps calling to him and says, like, hey, we need help and all this other stuff. But he doesn't, like, turn around. And she's like, what the fuck? And it's like, it's really, really weird. And then she goes into the woods, like, to pee or something like that. And then she sees, like, all these other people, like, these dudes that look like priests or something. There's, like, a whole bunch of them out there, and she's like, what the fuck, like, who are all these people? And then, like, she's telling, like, yelling at them and shit, and they're not, like, answering. They're just, like, staring at her all creepy, and it's just, like, it's really, really weird. So they're just kind of like, I don't even know what the fuck is going on, but I keep seeing all these people, and it's, like, really scary. So now they're, like, stuck inside the car for a while. It's getting really cold. They start to kind of, like, befriend each other a little bit, which, like I said, I guess in the situation, maybe that would happen, but I kind of feel like if it was me, like I said, if this dude had basically straight up admitted that he had been stalking me, got me into this situation under false pretenses, he's not even fucking from Delaware, he lives like 10 minutes away from the campus, but is willing to drive like 5 hours just to get her alone in the car with him, I'm like, that is some scary shit. I think while I still had the scissors and, like, they're like, wow, it's cold in here, I'd have been like, yeah, I'd have been like, I'm gonna stab you and hollow you out and for warmth, like a tauntaun. It's like, I think that's what I'd be doing, and I think shit would have worked out way better. I'm just saying. She probably should have done that before the car crash, but, you know. But I didn't, so I didn't really love the way they kind of, she kind of, like, softened toward him a little bit. I mean, like I said, they did have to help themselves, to help each other out because of the situation they were in, but I don't know if I'd be willing to go that far. I don't know. Maybe it's, like, a survival situation. And I also didn't like that, even though he turned out to be, spoiler alert, kind of like an okay guy, like he doesn't do anything bad to her and actually, like, helps her a couple of times, but they kind of give her a little bit of some dialogue where she's talking about, oh, you know, I'm so difficult, and I don't know, I kind of felt like the movie, and like I said, maybe this is just me, maybe this was just the way I took it, but I kind of felt like the movie was trying to make him sympathetic and trying to make her unsympathetic and almost trying to, like, make it seem like, you know, oh, I'm such an asshole and I should have been nicer to you. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm like, no way. It's like, I did not, like I said, she was kind of a douche at the beginning, like, before she knew anything about him. So it's like, I'm not forgiving that. I'm just saying, once she found out what his agenda was, it's like, I would not, there's just no way. I would not have, like, softened towards somebody like that, because that's, like, not forgivable behavior. But yeah, so I didn't really like that they kind of made a thing. It's like, yeah, I'm so difficult, and I should have, she doesn't say I should have been nicer to you, but that's kind of, like, the implication, like, of where the story goes. So that's a little bit of a complaint I had. Maybe other people didn't read it that way, but it did kind of come across that way to me. So, you know, take of that what you will. But yeah, so they start seeing all these people in the woods, and essentially, what ends up happening, like they're stuck in the car, and then Martin Donovan shows up as a cop, and they're like, oh, thank God, we needed help and blah, blah, blah. But then it turns out this cop is like a villain. Now, the cop and all of the people that they've been seeing in the woods, again, spoiler alert, are all ghosts. They're all dead people. Essentially, this stretch of road, and like I said, this is kind of like this urban legend aspect coming into play again. This stretch of road, Highway 606, is kind of like, as urban legends say, like a haunted stretch of road where all of these terrible things have happened. All these people have gotten killed. And indeed, the cop, played by Martin Donovan, was a cop back in, I think, the 50s. And he was essentially a serial killer. And what he would do, his shtick, was he would run people off the road on this particular stretch of highway and then kill them. And so he's come back, like, for more people. Like, his victims are there. There are other people there that, just died around this area. So it's kind of like all these ghosts. And then it kind of goes into the whole eternal recurrence thing where sometimes things happen and then like shit goes whoo, and then like it goes back again like to some other point, almost like it was a dream but not, because both of the characters like remember it, so it wasn't a dream. So there's that kind of whole situation too. So I kind of like the way that you think you know how this shit's gonna go. You think it's gonna be, oh my God, I'm stuck with my fucking stalker, like out in the middle of the fucking snow choked wilderness, and I'm fucked. And it does kind of go that way for about the first act, but then when you see the other people walking around the woods, I'm like, wait, what the fuck is happening now? Like with the ghosts. And then, because at first you didn't know they're ghosts because they just look like regular ass people. But as it goes on and it becomes clearer to you that these are all like, people that have died on this stretch of road and that are still haunting it, and it's like an urban legend type thing. I really like that it went in that direction. Like I said, it's not the most original movie ever. It's not, it's a pretty small film, but honestly, it was pretty effective, I thought. And it really, even though both the characters are kind of unlikable at the beginning, I think the setup of it was intriguing enough to like keep me into it. Until like shit started going crazy and like shit started going in a supernatural direction, which, like I said, I totally did not expect. I thought this was just gonna be like a thriller, like an isolation trapped with a creep kind of thing. And it's not really like that. They set it up to be like that, but then it's like a misdirection and it goes like in a bunch of crazy, like ghosty directions. And I kind of like that. You don't really see a lot of movies that kind of take a hard right turn like that, and I kind of like that it did that. I didn't see it coming, and I thought it was like actually pretty well done. Now, this is from 2007. Some of the CGI is a little meh, but what are you gonna do? It's like it's a low budget too. It's not that bad, but there were a couple shots where I was just kind of like, all right, but you know what I mean? But I'm not gonna like shit on it too hard because, like I said, very low budget. Honestly, I don't even think that this got a theatrical release in the US. If it did, it was very, very limited. I think it did get a release in maybe Britain, but I don't really know how well it did over there. It's very strange that this movie, which, like I said, now that Emily Blunt is like kind of a big star, you would think that people would kind of go back and revisit this as this being like one of her very early roles. And she's actually really good in it. But yeah, it just seems like I hadn't even heard of it until, and I wouldn't even have watched it if a couple people hadn't recommended it. I had like two or three people, because when I was talking about doing winter horror movies, they're like, oh, you gotta see Windchill because, nobody talks about it really. So I was like, okay, well, I gotta see that if that many people have like recommended it. It's just strange that you don't hear more people talking about it. Like I said, it's not like it's some big, like, genius movie that nobody forgot about. But it's a pretty solid winter horror movie, and you could totally watch it as a Christmas horror movie too. Like I said, it's not a Christmas horror movie, as in, Santa is coming like strangling people with like fucking Christmas lights or like, braining them with candy canes or anything like that. It's not like that. It's basically just the setup is we're going home for Christmas break, and it's a very, very snowy, wintry kind of atmosphere. So, I mean, if you're looking for something like that and there's, some Christmas or winter horror movies you haven't seen, definitely give this one a watch and let me know what you think about it. Let me know if kind of the thing about her kind of warming toward the creep was bothersome to me. It kind of bothered me a little bit. It didn't ruin the movie or anything like that, but as it went on, I was just like, don't be nice to him. Stop it. You shouldn't have been nice to him. He's a fucking creepo. It's like, he's fucking stalking you. He knew exactly, like, what her favorite meal was, which, like, how the fuck did he even know that? Like, what is he doing? Like, is he going through her phone? It's just like, it kind of creeped me out. And I was just kind of like, so I don't think that, I don't know. I don't think she should have been nice to him and shit like that. And, like, having her feel bad at the end, like, when what happens to him happens to him, it's just kind of like, I don't know. It just kind of bothered me. But let me know if it bothered you as well, because I know some of you have seen it, because I know a couple of you recommended it to me. But yeah, this is a pretty solid, you know, holiday horror movie, kind of a thriller, but with a supernatural twist to it. So let me know what you think about it in the comments, and I will see you guys on the next Flickers of Fear. Bye.